Thank God for Gorilla. Hell, I can't even speak. Gorilla Glass.
So,
hi. Good morning.
Good morning. Everybody else hasn't figured out what's going on. I think today's Paul's birthday, which according to my math, Paul, according to my math here, makes you the oldest person on this podcast.
That's true. But only the third oldest person in our company.
Yeah. Yeah. So here we are. Paul survived another rotation around the sun.
And so, barely. Yeah. This was one of the rougher ones.
I was going to say, this
is like back to my first year when I was colicky and crying a lot to have a similarly bad year.
I was going to say, this one was a little more of a photo finish than coasting across, yes, if you will.
Exactly. Exactly.
So anyways, is there a new feature in Excel that's somewhat exciting? It's a new data type, Paul. I actually am somewhat excited.
Data type that lets you write in a cell with a pen, because if it isn't, I got to tell you.
Nobody uses a pen anymore, Paul. That was so 2012 to 2017.
My email begs to disagree.
Anyways, there's a new data type in Excel for people who get excited by these things, such as myself, that it effectively allows you to put a rich data set inside of a single cell and then call attributes out of it. So if that sounds exciting to you, you should go to petri.com/Excel new data type feature is the app's biggest update in a year. And you'll find that article.
Well, I will examine this blog post and maybe I'll write it up.
Yeah, it's a big update, but it's like on the, I mean, at this point, Excel is older than Paul. And,
and not true, unfortunately.
Yeah, but. Anyways, but it allows you to effectively include like rich data inside of a cell, which you previously couldn't do without like these like deep convoluted linkings. And so if you're using Power BI, it's a pretty cool thing.
And so this sounds to me like a database feature almost, like they're turning Excel into a sort of a database.
It is. What I personally think it is that they know that a ton of people are very familiar with Excel and people use it every single day.
Yeah.
And what this does is brings some sort of, not some sort of, but like advanced Power BI functionality into Excel. And then you can use it in a syntax, which probably billions of people are familiar with at this point, at least millions, hundreds of millions in the corporate world. And so my gut says Microsoft realized that it's a lot easier to take people in an app that they already know how to use and educate them further than to get them into a new app like Power BI. And so there you go.
Smart.
Yeah. I think it is smart. So you can go play around with your rich data sets. Actually, no, you probably can't unless you're in some of the insider preview stuff. And if you're in the enterprise world, good luck. You're going to be waiting for months.
I just realized that my shirt is soaking wet because I walked in the rain like a jerk today.
Yeah. Did you realize how much rain is coming your way?
I saw that. Yeah. It's all right.
It's a biblical amount of rain at this point.
It's always bad when you look at the weather and it says chance of rain 100%, and you're like, okay, well, how long is that going to last? And you're like, you know,
how does January sound?
Like after three pages, it just says build an arc.
Yeah, like it's just little, like each swipe is a drawing a different part of the boat.
Yeah, different animal that needs to be on the arc for it to actually survive.
No. So, let me think here. So, what were your concerns? I haven't looked at your post yet. What were your concerns on the iPhone?
Yeah, actually, so this is goofy because I feel like I need to almost revisit this one more time. So I'm really trying to use it. So some of this stuff is weird. Like obviously it's it's an election time here in the United States. And because I live in Pennsylvania, well, no, I know everyone probably realizes that, but when you live in a state that actually matters for the election, like you probably do too, get a lot of election spam. And that stuff got through on Android as well. I'm not blaming Android or iOS or anything. But since I've switched to iOS, I've started getting this type of text message spam I've just never seen before, or it's been so long I just don't remember it. And it would be like, here's a hair care product, or you should click this link to find, you know, get this skincare product. I got one for an Insta heater yesterday, and I'm like, what is this? You know, and again, you know, like we're all used to what we're used to when we're familiar with what we're familiar with, you know, whatever. Android does a great job, I guess, of filtering stuff out I never knew because I never got it. But when you do get a spam call or a text on Android, it says, hey, this looks like spam. And like, unless you ignore it by default, like on iOS, there's nothing like that. And like to go and find, you can block the number, but blocking a number is useless. It's a robo dialer. Like it's weird to me. Like that to me was just, it's not a huge thing, but it's weird. It's just a weird little thing. Mm-hmm. I also just wanted to clarify the issue I had. You know this because you use an iPhone, but there are two display modes. There's like standard and zoomed. Yeah. And the names of those things suggest what they are. Obviously, in zoom mode, on-screen elements become a little bigger. Mm-hmm. On Android, you actually have a scale of 4 or 5 sizes you can choose from and whatever. But I had it in zoom mode, and it caused apps to have black bars at the top and bottom. Like it would shrink the app down to like a square in the middle. And I'm like, this is the opposite of what a zoom mode should do. It should make everything bigger, So I guess the on-screen elements were bigger, but the app itself didn't take up the full screen. And this happened not with the majority of apps I install on the phone. Obviously, I didn't go through every single app. But I mean, it happened with more than half of the apps I use regularly. Audible, Google, whatever. And I'm like, it just didn't make sense to me. So anyway, I put it back in standard and it actually did fix it, but that whatever. I can't explain that one. I think there's an iOS thing. I feel like iOS should just scale apps, automatically at this point, whatever. But the bigger one is the photography issue. And I've noticed this problem that I noticed before in iPhones. It takes, obviously the newer iPhones take great pictures, but they're a little washed out. And by washed out, I probably just mean they're realistic, honestly. I mean, they're probably pretty true to life, but a lot of the Android phones, Samsung does this, Huawei does this, Google does this to some degree. They give you a little bit of HDR pop. It's kind of the point of HDR. It's something you can turn on. And what Apple does instead is they have an auto HDR, and they determine whether it should come on or not, just like they determine whether night mode should come on or off. And I feel like these are things you should be able to kind of set yourself, mm-hmm. And so I'm a little disappointed in that. And night mode shots, it's weird. Like,
you can't save the auto HDR. I thought it was just...
No, auto HDR, what auto HDR means is it will determine whether to use HDR. So as you're taking the photo, you'll see a little, I think it's yellow, box appears that says it's using HDR. Mm-hmm. So here's the workaround. Let me just cut to the chase. I'm sorry. Because what I wrote yesterday, I feel like I need to update because I was so... There's also a filter settings. Let me just see what it's called. So if you go into the camera app, there's a... Where is it? Well, I enabled it, so I can't... It's on now by default, but... how do I make this appear? Okay, so there's it looks like a moon icon, and if you tap that, no, that's not it. I don't remember how I turned it on. Anyway, there's a way to get to filters, and the first filter, well, the original is the default, but the first filter is something called Vivid.
Yep.
So, and then there's a bunch of others, but I thought, Vivid might do the trick, mm-hmm. And then of course it turns off and, every time you use it, you have to turn it on, but actually it turns out there's a setting. If you go into settings app, there's no settings in camera. You have to go to a different place. But if you find the camera settings, you can actually enable a setting that will leave the last mode or filter or whatever they call it. So if you set it on mm-hmm. Vivid, it will stay in Vivid. Great. But the shots didn't seem that vivid to me. So I started playing around with a third-party app that does like Vivid HDR, and those pictures look like crap. Like they just look like crap. So I was like, oh man, I don't know what to do here. So randomly the other day, I walked out of the gym and there's a water tower. I took a picture of it because it was kind of a cool sky. And then I brought up Google Photos on the web for some other reason, and I saw that picture, and it's like bright and vibrant and HDR like, and I'm like, oh, that's what I'm looking for. So I started flipping through the pictures and I'm like, actually this filter might actually work. Like the first couple I took didn't seem that great, but like I walked out this morning, today, terrible conditions, raining, I'm soaking wet, and I took a bunch of pictures. You can look at them on Instagram, and that's the effect I'm looking for. It's just a little bit of
a little bit of jazz in the background.
Yeah, I know it's long-winded, but I'm really trying to make it work is the point of this. I really am. I can't. I've been missing text messages like that. I can't explain.
Well, that one's odd.
It's odd because there's an iMessage issue, obviously, right? And mm-hmm. so one of the problems moving between platforms, I usually would say, honestly, moving between Android and iOS is pretty seamless, with one exception: messages.
Yep, but
if you leave iOS, you have to go through a series of steps to kind of release the stranglehold that iMessage has on you. If you don't do it, or whatever it's called now, messages, whatever. If you don't do that, you will miss text messages on your Android phone that you switch to. It's just a fact. You just will. And so I'm used to that. I know to look out for it. I've never experienced it in the other direction, but we had a group chat with the folks on my circle. By the way, many of whom are iPhone users, I guess, at least half of them. And I could tell from the messages I was seeing, because on iPhone, like someone will like you can like a message. So it would say something like, this person liked something that someone else said. And I never got the original message that the person had written that the other guy liked. And I'm like, what? So I asked my wife to bring over her phone, and I compared the two conversations side by side, and I missed over half of the messages. Like, they never came to my phone. And that I can't explain. So I'm working through it.
They'll show up in about 4 years.
Well, speaking of which, this is kind of random. I meant to mention this to you before the podcast started, but right before you called me, my feed popped up with a new article or whatever. I'm just going to switch to it now so I can see it. And I switched over to it, and it was my article from yesterday. And it was not the most recent thing I wrote. It was the title is Apple Allegedly Developing Alternative to Google Search. Now, since then, I have posted 1, 2, 3. Well, you posted one of those. So I actually posted two other articles, but you also posted two, the podcast from yesterday and the Halo Infinite story. Those all appeared in the feed earlier. So I don't...
Is this in the RSS or the...
What's that?
Was that when you say feed, are you saying RSS or actually?
So if there's a lesson here, it is that technology will always disappoint you and is frustrating. And that's why I am the way I am.
Are we talking about kids or our job?
The highest highs and the lowest lows.
Speaking of lowest lows, the thing that I talked, was that Monday, whatever, earlier day this week, where I said there was going to be another shakeup at 343, officially been confirmed now that Chris Lee has left the company. Still indetermined.
Saying it.
Yeah, it's still not been official. So it's weird because Microsoft officially said that he's still a Microsoft employee. But what I suspect that means is that he's been asked to leave, and they say, hey, here's a package that we're going to give you for you not to say anything and to walk out that door, and you'll be a Microsoft employee and get some benefits for a while, and then things will happen, would be my guess.
So it's in the Philippines, and it's not game related. We just need to sit on a rock on an island and just shut up for a couple of years.
Which, as I will remind Microsoft, for $2 million, I will do that too. And please make that check payable to Brad Sams.
Brad, so I would do it for $1 million because I'm a little closer to retirement. And not trying to undercut you, buddy, but...
I can't let you undercut me.
Brad's like, all right, it's like $750. It's my final offer. We're stuck on...